Welcome to the What's Next Compeer Financial podcast series. Listen how Compeer is committed to serving agriculture and rural America.
In light of COVID-19, this week we are looking at what's next for direct-to-consumer agriculture. Our guest for this episode is Paul Dittman, Senior Lending Specialist, Diversified Markets Team for Compeer Financial.
Paul, in what ways has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted the direct-to-consumer ag space?
Well, a lot of our customers who are in that market selling products directly to consumers or doing some sort of value-added processing, they described sort of a falling off the cliff moment in mid-March when a lot of things were shut down. You know, we've got some of our folks are selling products to restaurants and things like that, and of course those markets came to a crashing halt. And so they talk about having this moment where it felt like they'd fallen off a cliff. They weren't sure where they were going to end up. And then all of a sudden, there was this big explosion in consumer demand. And so our customers ended up pivoting to different types of marketing channels and different consumers than maybe they had in the past. We had some folks who pivoted to kind of grocery box sales, where they were partnering with other farmers and aggregating their produce all into a box and delivering those to consumers or offering curbside pickup. I've got a couple of folks in my portfolio who run small restaurants in addition to their farming operations. One did the pivot to grocery. The other one, their main chef, was in a group that was pretty susceptible to COVID. And so they ended up having to shut down for 2 months. When they came back online and they have some outdoor seating spaces, their sales were double what they were before they shut down. So things have changed quite a bit.
You know, in listening to that, it reflects this renewed or increased interest from the consumer as far as where their food comes from. And I'm curious about, you know, those consumers and how they feel about the agricultural products, the farmers markets, you know, the producer aspect. Has COVID kind of shined a light on those feelings?
It really has. You know, I think people, right after COVID hit, they were going to the grocery store and they were finding that products they were looking for weren't there. Meat products in particular were in short supply for a while and prices went way up. And I think consumers started looking around for more local sources for products and found out that there were farmers, you know, 2 miles from them that were selling meat direct to consumers. They never knew about it before. So, you know, I think a lot of things have changed with consumers, or at least did early in COVID. You know, they had more time to cook because they were working from home. The children were at home. They weren't having to run from, you know, soccer game to cross-country meet, that sort of thing. So they just had more time to cook. And they were, I think, maybe nesting to a certain extent, where they really wanted to sort of hunker down and prepare good food for their families. And a lot of that food was coming directly from farmers.
I hear a lot of people talk about this new normal and changes that have transpired because of the pandemic and maybe changes that are here to stay. As you think about social media, Paul, and where people go to get their information, do you think we're going to see some changes on the ag side?
Yeah, definitely. You know, social media, of course, has had a huge impact. You know, one example I can think of, there's a Facebook page here in Wisconsin. It's called Farm Direct Wisconsin. And it started in April of this year in response to COVID. You know, people were looking for products and trying to connect with farmers who had products to sell. So that Facebook page started in April. Now they have almost 57,000 members. I mean, it's just incredible how that's exploded and how many connections it's made between consumers and farmers. You know, it's fantastic. You know, it's really nice to see that that someone took the time and put some effort into creating that sort of a connection, and it's just really exploding.
Yeah, you say that connection is awesome. What does this increased connection between the consumer and the farmer mean to the farmer? How does that translate to the farm level?
Well, I think it's translated into a lot of new sales. It's translated into connections with consumers that are local. The farmers who are able to take advantage of those connections, they're disconnecting from the commodity marketing system and being susceptible to the whims of the market and the whims of trade policy and that sort of thing. So it's bringing those sales local. It's those sales tend to be higher margin. You know, consumers are willing to spend more. And when you don't have the traditional marketing channel where products leave the farm, get processed, make it through the whole chain before they come back, more of those dollars end up in the farmer's pockets.
Paul, obviously the pandemic has impacted processors. You look at some of the backups along the pork supply chain and slaughter capacity backups, and certainly a lot of farms were impacted that way. As you think about processing from a direct-to-consumer perspective, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, processing has been a real bottleneck, partially because we've had this explosion in consumer demand, but also because we've had conventional farmers who found that their typical marketing chains were shut down because we had some of the bigger processing plants that shut down, and they were shuffling some of their product to smaller state-inspected plants. And so a lot of the smaller plants have increased their capacity to the extent that they can. They've put on extra shifts, or they're running long days, but their coolers are full and there's only so much labor to go around. So we're finding that, especially in meat processing, capacity has been a real limiting factor. And some of my customers are saying that they have to book their slots a year out in advance now because the local processor is just so busy.
With Compeer Financial helping farms of all shapes and sizes, if you will, Paul, how can Compeer work with the direct-to-consumer operations, possibly from a financing standpoint? And maybe there are other areas, too, where Compeer can help those types of farm operations.
Yeah, Compeer has a program that I co-lead. It's called the Emerging Markets Loan Program. And it's a loan program that was really designed for farmers who are marketing products directly to consumers or doing some sort of value-added processing. And so we have a microloan component of that program. It's up to $50,000. It's relatively easy underwriting standards. We do a lot of business planning with our members who are in that program. We help them with their cash flow projections and things like that. And we also, beyond just lending money to farmers and farmers who are working in this space, we also are lending to groups of farmers who are mingling their products and marketing them to consumers. We're financing some value-added processing businesses. So we're trying to really support that space, and we've been doing it long before COVID started. But I'll tell you, our demand for loans in that program has really increased through COVID. We're having a fantastic year. I mean, we've added a lot of new customers in our program.
And what's the best way to learn more about that program?
The best way to learn is to go to compeer.com and look for emerging markets. We've got a lot of resources out there. We have business planning resources. We've got a cash flow projection spreadsheet. We've got PowerPoint presentations on a variety of aspects of direct-to-consumer financial management. So there's a ton of information out there.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast series brought to you by Compeer Financial.
Compeer Financial, committed to serving agriculture and rural America. Learn more at compeer.com.